Hey, before we get started with today's episode, I just wanted to jump in and let you know about my brand new free online masterclass coming up in June. The Anxiety Reset is going to show you how to stop anxiety and reclaim your life. We're going to look at everything that you are doing that is creating more stuck anxiety, why the coping mechanisms that you've been using are not working, and I'm going to give you a four-step approach that's going to help you to regain control of your life. So if you're tired of anxiety interrupting your decisions, dictating what you do, then this is the class to join. And best of all, it's absolutely free. The link is in the show notes. Have you ever wondered why anxiety just won't budge? Like, what is it doing here anyway? Welcome to the Ease Anxiety Podcast. I'm Deanta Fuchs, a psychologist turned international anxiety coach, and I'm on a mission to share a new perspective on anxiety that puts you firmly back in control of your life so that anxiety no longer interrupts you. So grab your cuppa, get comfy, and listen in as we demystify, destigmatize, and deconstruct what you think you know about anxiety so that you can finally do what you have struggled with for so long. Ease anxiety for good. Well, hello and welcome back to the Ease Anxiety Podcast. And in today's episode, we're going to talk about some more of the anxiety episodes I had while I did my traveling back to South Africa. So for those of you who are only just joining me, I'll give you a quick rundown on the context so that you know what we're talking about. In March and April, my husband, my kids, and I decided to go on a trip back to South Africa, the first time in 8 years since immigrating, and it was one heck of a journey. And my anxiety was spiked on various points of this journey, so I'm just going to talk through some of those experiences and then what I did to respond to my anxiety in a way that allowed it to naturally subside and also to stop or prevent me from getting stuck with escalating anxiety and panic attacks. In the last episode, we discussed the big experience of my little boy getting really sick and nauseous just before we were due to head home on what was effectively a 47-hour journey, including layovers and stopovers, of course, and how I was super panicked that we would land up getting stranded in the middle of Singapore with this kid and potentially others of us getting gastro. So if you haven't listened to that episode, then go back. It's episode 20, and you can have a listen to how that story played out and what we did with that anxiety as it came up. But today, I'm going to talk about a different anxiety experience, and it has a slightly different story. But before I launch into what I experienced here, I just want to give a little bit of context to why this is so important. Now, for most of you who have been listening or following me, you'll know that I see anxiety as a gift. I know that anxiety has a real purpose that it serves for us. It's there to get us to pay attention to something that's really important and potentially a threat to our survival. And when you have managed to make friends with your anxiety, in other words, you're no longer fighting it or at war with it, then you can actually begin to use it as a flag for areas that need your attention. So we can then move beyond simply surviving in this kind of flight or fight stage, and we can move towards greater self-development as we use that anxiety as a messenger to give us the areas of our lives that need our attention. Now, you could go back a few episodes and you could listen to the story of how my husband discovered a core belief that had been triggered by his anxiety, and how eventually dealing with his anxiety meant dealing with that core belief, and how he moved through feeling like an absolute failure to now having a huge amount more confidence in himself. And I've got countless stories of clients who have been able to listen to their anxiety as it highlights a specific need that they're not meeting in their lives. Maybe a need for some self-care or attention, but they're putting themselves in situations where they feel like they have to keep looking after other people. And then they have beliefs about how they need to keep looking after other people in order to be a good person. And in effect, they're sacrificing their own needs. And of course, when our own needs are not being met, that is a threat to our own survival. Maybe not survival per se, but certainly we're not going to thrive as humans if our core emotional needs are not being met. So when those clients then are able to have a look at why that anxiety is there, which is really highlighting just a need that's being ignored or avoided, and they're then able to address those beliefs that are keeping them stuck, shifting to a place where they're finally able to prioritize their own needs or their own beliefs or desires, then of course the anxiety shifts. So there are plenty of examples that show just how powerful anxiety can be as a messenger. So knowing this, I'm now going to explain to you what happened for me as we were getting ready for our big trip to South Africa. Now, as I've said before, most people are going to see traveling as a fun, exciting thing to do. And most people are going to probably roll their eyes and tell me that I'm making mountains out of molehills in explaining these situations to you. But there's something that I noticed as I was doing this journey about how my anxiety was popping up. And I kept thinking, this is it. This is what people deal with on a day-to-day basis. And it's worth highlighting what we're doing in those situations that either get us stuck or can help us move through. So, as you know, we hadn't been back to South Africa in 8 years, ever actually, since immigrating. And so the journey was really a big one. It's not that difficult to plan a journey this way, to book some flight tickets for 4 people, make sure that your passports are in order, have your visas sorted out, make sure that your transfers are organized, make sure that you're going to be on time for your different layovers, planning what you're going to do in your layover, for example. None of these things in particular are difficult. But when you're also planning to rent out your house while you're away, and who's going to look after your cat, and what's going to happen when you come back with your business, and what are you doing with your finances, there are a lot of moving parts that need your attention. Everyone knows. And I would say that I'm a pretty efficient person. What I will also say is that I have a core belief of unrelenting standards. And I think that there are going to be many listeners out there that can resonate with this core belief. It's a belief that says we have to do everything to the utmost of our ability, and it has to be perfect. Not necessarily perfect, but it has to have been the very best that it could be. And if we need help, or we are not able to do it, then that says something about us. In other words, we're not good enough, or we're not worthy, or we have no value. So for me, I find it very difficult to ask for help. It's something that I'm beginning to realize I need more of, and I'm learning and stretching myself to ask for help when I need it, but it's something that I find really difficult. And I also have, because of that unrelenting standard, a belief that no one else is going to do the job quite the way that I would. So it's best for me to just do everything. So approximately 3 weeks before we were due to leave, my anxiety started to creep up. Now you've got to laugh about this tricky little alarm system, right? My anxiety is normally a racing heart and heart palpitations. So when I start to realize that I'm having heart palpitations, that's a red flag for me that I'm going into stress states or I'm heading into anxiety. This time around, I didn't even get any palpitations. I think my anxiety was like, you listen to me way too often and you're probably going to ignore me if I give you some palpitations because they're not frightening enough. And so it chucked at me a completely different symptom, the one of breathlessness. So I found myself kind of suddenly sighing or yawning or just suddenly taking these huge intakes of breath. And only at that point would I realize, gosh, I haven't really been breathing or I've been holding my breath. This is a really unusual symptom for me. It's not something that I've ever really experienced before, but I noticed that I was doing it a lot. Like I'd be watching TV with my husband and then all of a sudden I'd just be like, and he'd look at me and say, what's happening? And I'd say, well, I've been holding my breath. Or I'd notice during the day that I was doing really shallow breathing and then need to take these big inhalations or big sighs. And so sighing is often a big sign of anxiety, largely because we're not breathing properly. So as this began to happen, it obviously got worse. And for those of you who struggle with breathlessness, I completely commiserate and empathize. Because the minute you begin to focus on your breath, it's almost as if you kick it out of whack and then you feel even more breathless. Like it feels as if you can't breathe more, even though you desperately want to. And the more you focus on taking more breaths, the more breathless you feel. The trick, if you're dealing with the symptom, is to try and get your mind off of that symptom as quickly as possible. So I learned very quickly that when this was happening, it was just anxiety, and to not pay much attention to the fact that I felt breathless. So I would then go ahead and concentrate on something else and just trust that my breathing would go back to a natural rhythm, because it always does. And that sighing or that yawning or that big intake of breath that you might be doing, it's really your system just recreating the balance. So you can trust your body to keep you alive. We don't have to get involved in those automatic processes, right? Anyway, point is, my anxiety was escalating, and as you'll know, it is necessary to ask, what is my anxiety asking me to pay attention to? And I couldn't for the life of me understand what, other than, gosh, you've got a lot on your plate right now, Deonta, trying to sort out everything for this trip in time. It felt like I had thrown a whole bunch of balls into the air, and now I needed to catch them very quickly before a certain date, and none of them were to land on the floor. And this, of course, is unrelenting standards, right? Making sure we're doing all the things to the best of our ability and not one thing is allowed to go wrong. You see, there's that little or else piece that always comes in with anxiety. What if it goes wrong? Who cares, really? But your anxiety doesn't say that. There's this or else piece. It has to go to the best of your ability and it all has to go according to plan, or else. Or else what? Well, that's what causes anxiety. But beyond that, and inside of that core belief of my unrelenting standards, exists the space where I cannot ask for help. And so as I began to explore, where is this anxiety coming from? Wow, I feel overwhelmed. I have too much on my plate. I feel like everything has to happen just so. And as I was saying these things to myself, I began to realize, I can see this anxiety is saying, I have a threat to my survival, self-created, because if the things I'm doing do not go according to plan, or else, something bad will happen. Well, of course we know nothing bad is going to happen. We'll just have to deal with the consequences. But that's beside the point. The other thing it was really highlighting for me is, I'm struggling to do this alone. So there is a core need that I was not meeting because of my unrelenting standards. So of course, I had to take a big deep breath in and deal with the fact that although it is very difficult for me to ask for help, this was one of those instances that I'd probably be doing myself a service by doing so. And all it meant was saying, hey, I need some help. Can you please organize X, Y, and Z? And hand it over to my very capable husband. So that is exactly what I did. And needless to say, the minute that I paid attention to what my anxiety was asking me to pay attention to, it began to subside. I started to feel a lot more relaxed about the entire journey, knowing that I'm not the only one that has to shoulder the burden of organizing everything. And of course, just acknowledging what the need was a huge relief. So again, I'm going to point out that this really isn't a life or death situation. These are super first world problems, right? Like the stress of organizing a wonderful holiday, for sure. But what I'm really trying to point out here is that our anxiety comes up for valid reasons. And if we would like that anxiety to subside rather than escalate and get out of control, then we need to respond in the right way. And that responding often requires us to pay attention, to ask what is it that we need to pay attention to understand what our root causes are. For example, I already know that unrelenting standards are a root cause of my anxiety. So it's very likely that when anxiety comes up, it's probably that core belief that's being triggered. So I already know that. But when you do the work through the EASE method, you become more aware of what your core beliefs are or what your triggers to anxiety are. So then it's more likely to be one of those things in the future, right? Which makes it so much easier for us to simply listen and accept that anxiety is there for a real and valid purpose. Now, this whole thing could have gone a whole lot differently, right? I could have become so anxious and my breathing could have been so out of whack. And then I could have had thoughts of, oh my gosh, I'm so anxious. This is going to ruin our holiday. And this is a once in a lifetime trip. What if I'm so anxious on the aeroplane and then I'm horrible to my kids and I'm snapping? And what if I land up having panic attacks when we're in South Africa and I haven't seen all these people for so long? What if I land up ruining everything because I'm so anxious? And of course, as you can imagine, each one of those what if questions or those scenarios are going to create more anxiety. And of course, I'm then going to feel more and more anxious. That's only going to fuel all the worrying about how anxious I might be in South Africa. That is an example of anxiety about anxiety. That is an example of anxiety that is real and valid about something else turning in on itself and becoming stuck. And that is the thing that I want you to avoid doing by responding to your anxiety in the right way. So this is why I created the EASE method, right? To teach people exactly how to respond to that anxiety in a way that immediately validates, listens, leans, and accepts, and then shifts it so that you can get on that aeroplane and enjoy that first world problem of traveling to a lovely country and enjoying a holiday away. Please let me know if this has been helpful for you. I love connecting. You can find me on Instagram or TikTok. The links are in the show notes. And if you're interested in learning more about the EASE method, you can hit the link in the show note as well. I have a free masterclass coming up soon, and you can learn far more about how to implement this method with your own anxiety. See you soon. So that wraps up today's episode, and I have a huge favor to ask. If you found any value in what you heard today, please be sure to leave a review. I assure you, it is not to stroke my ego, although it does help me to know that you love the show, but to help the algorithms get this episode into the hands of others who might need it. Make sure you follow the EASE Anxiety podcast so that you never miss a future episode. And lastly, I really love to connect, so find me on TikTok or Instagram and be sure to say hi. All the links are found below in the show notes. Thanks for tuning in.